Greetings, Antioch family and anyone else tuning in today to this video. We're glad you joined us today. And I want to bring some encouragement from the scriptures for you. This is a time where we can all use some encouragement, isn't it? I especially want to welcome any new people that are listening in, new to Antioch. Maybe you've never been to a physical service with us, but you're tuning in, listening on video. I want to welcome you. We are posting a link to a welcome form that we'd love you to fill out. That'll be in the comments on the video. We'd love to connect with you, get in touch with you if you are just checking out Antioch Community. I'm Pastor Andy O'Rourke, one of the pastors here at Antioch, and thanks again for joining us today. Man, what a crazy time that we've had these past few weeks, the coronavirus craziness, you could call it. I think I saw yesterday that in the past 3 days, the number of cases has doubled globally in the past 3 days. Unbelievable. I'm hearing just reports from friends, from family, from ministry partners around the world with similar struggles that they're having, that they're dealing with. And in the midst of this global pandemic, what's amazing to realize is this world was once without pandemics. This world was once originally created by God as good. We see that in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It was created as very good, God says. But through human rebellion against God, sin entered into his good creation. And it impacted and infected, really, every aspect of this universe. We now live in a broken world, and each of us is broken. Broken people in a broken world. In this broken creation that we find ourselves in, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Bad things can happen to good people. Life, it seems unfair. I mean, the time that we're living in now seems unfair. Things aren't the way they're supposed to be. That's abundantly clear. And it's because of the havoc that sin has wreaked across our universe, across our creation. But the Bible, in the midst of all this, presents for us, we see in the scriptures, a God who is good. This eternally good God, he's at work renewing this broken world. He's in the renewal business. And through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has accomplished, through his life, death, and resurrection, God is renewing all things. We're told that in the scriptures through what Jesus has done. And that renewal, it includes all of creation, everything around us in the entire universe being renewed through the gospel, and then also individuals, men, women, children that are being renewed through the gospel as you place your faith in Jesus Christ. So through trusting by faith in Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, you get to participate, you get to experience this renewing work from the brokenness of sin in your life through trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes these words in the New Testament. He says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, the Apostle Paul says those words, and in the context of that chapter, in Romans chapter 8, that good that he talks about, that all things working together for good, it refers to followers of Jesus, Christians, being conformed or shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son, becoming more and more like Jesus. That's the good that God is working at and shaping in our lives. Now, in light of God's gospel renewal project in a broken world, here's the question that I want us to focus on for the next few minutes together and consider. The question is, how does a good God work in our lives to turn bad things into good things? How does a good God work in our lives to turn things that are bad and things that are broken into our ultimate good? And I want to look at four ways that God does that. The title of the message today is Turn Around God. Four ways God turns bad things into good things for us. The four bad things that we're going to look at are suffering, disasters, or storms in our life, you could call them, anxiety, and derailed plans. And we're going to see how God turns each of those into things that are good. Well, let's look at the first one. First of all, the first way that God does that, God presents suffering as an opportunity for true gospel change in our lives. He presents suffering as an opportunity for true gospel change. We don't ask for trials in this world, but all of us experience them. Trials, hardships, sufferings, just by the nature of living in a broken world where we exist, we experience trials. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, listen to what the Apostle Paul says about suffering. He starts in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, listen to what he says in verse 3. "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Now, what is this saying? Well, especially in verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul is making clear that suffering in our lives, God uses it. God uses it and allows it as this crucible, you could say, or to enter into this process of renewal. God uses suffering as this process in our lives to shape us, to mold us, to look more like Jesus Christ. And what does he say? Suffering is an opportunity to produce endurance, and then endurance can lead to character, and character produces hope. It's this ongoing pattern or cycle, you could say, of renewal through suffering that God does in our lives. He takes what appears to be a bad thing, and what is a bad thing, suffering, and he can work a good thing, shape us into Christ-like character to reflect the words, the ways, the works of Jesus Christ, to look more like Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. How has God in the past refined you through hardship? Can you think of a time in the past where you went through a trial, where you went through a time of testing, a time of hardship? And as you look back, you can see, man, God really used that and shaped me and transformed me in some way, grew me in character. What did he do in the past? Well, guess what? He wants to do that again. Where does God want to, right now in your life, bring gospel change through the suffering and the trial that you're facing? Where does God want to do that again? Where does he want to shape your character and bring true change in your life through the sufferings that you're experiencing right now in this season? Well, that's the first way he turns bad things into good things. What's the second way? Second, God presents disasters or storms in our lives as an opportunity to trust the one who rules over disasters. God presents the disasters as an opportunity to trust the one who rules over them. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. I love this passage. It's a story in the Gospels that you might be familiar with, this historical account of Jesus stilling a storm. He's on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and a storm comes up, and he commands the storm to be stilled. He silences it with just his words. Listen to what he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them," he said to his disciples, "let us go to the other side." Now he's talking about going to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I mean, it's such an amazing story. Can you imagine being with Jesus, if you're one of the disciples, in the boat with him? This storm comes up, and it's a storm that is so severe, we see here, then we're told that they're fearing for their lives. Waves are crashing into the boat. They think the boat is going down. They think this is the end. This is how we're going to end. And Jesus is below deck, asleep, calm, not worried, not fearful, not anxious. They wake him up because they think they're going to die. They're freaking out. Jesus isn't freaking out at all. And then he gives them a gentle rebuke as they see who he is, the creator of the universe, the creator of the sea that they're on, the Sea of Galilee. He's able to, with his words, command the storm, and it's silenced. They see more who Jesus Christ really is, the Son of God. And then they get this gentle rebuke from Jesus to place their faith in the one, the creator who's with them. Not only is he sovereign over the storm that they're in and rules over the storm, but he's with them in the midst of the storm, just like he is for us in the storms and the disasters that we face in our lives. Well, let me ask another question. Where do you need to place your faith today? In the God who rules over life's storms. Maybe it's believing in Jesus Christ for the first time as your Savior, and placing your faith in Jesus and following him. Maybe that's something you've never done. I invite you to do that. Embrace him, the one who is sovereign over your life, over the storms of life, over disasters, and who wants to work in the midst of those and walk with you through those. We all have storms in our lives. We all experience suffering and trial. The difference is, some of us, through faith in Jesus Christ, have him walking with us through it, and we're not alone. Well, you can experience that too through faith in him. Let's keep going. The third way that God turns bad things into good things, God presents anxiety as an opportunity to experience true peace from him. God presents anxiety as an opportunity to experience true peace from him. When I think about this coronavirus pandemic that we're all in the middle of, you know, what makes me anxious? It's not necessarily for me personally that I'm anxious about or fearful about getting sick, contracting the virus. What makes me anxious and what keeps me awake at night at times is thinking of the economic ramifications, thinking of people, friends, family, those within our church family, those outside of our Antioch church family that are not able to work, that are getting their hours cut, that are getting laid off from their jobs, churches that are struggling because of people that are getting laid off from their jobs and then struggling to give to these churches. Those are the type of things that make me anxious. And when I'm anxious and fearful, I come back a lot of times in my own life to a passage that's one of my favorite in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, I'm going to read this in a moment, but these next two scripture passages that we're going to look at, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul writes both of them, these two separate letters, Philippians and Colossians, that we're going to look at, from prison. So he's in lockdown. He's in quarantine, you could say. And all of a sudden, looking at these familiar passages, it gives us a whole new opportunity to apply what he's saying, doesn't it? As we are in a shelter at home quarantine or a lockdown of sorts. we can identify with some of these things that the Apostle Paul is saying. So he's writing from prison, Philippians chapter 4, and he says this, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, notice the pattern here. Okay, notice the pattern that Paul lays out in these verses. There's a command to not be anxious. You know, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be fearful about anything. There's a lot of things out of our control that cause anxiety in our lives, right? Paul had those, we have those. The world that we live in causes us to be afraid, to be fearful, to worry, to be anxious. But what can we control? We can control what we do with that, how we respond to that, those feelings of anxiety. And notice the pattern. He says, when you're feeling anxious, take that to God in prayer. Turn to God in prayer, in supplication, or making requests known to God. Anxiety, direct that to prayer, and then what happens? The peace that comes from God, a supernatural peace, a peace, he says, that surpasses all understanding. Now, what's interesting about that is that's a peace from God that it doesn't come as prayers are answered necessarily. Answered how, as we hear a response or an answer to our prayers, but that supernatural peace from God comes simply from praying itself. So what's amazing about that is Paul says a recipe for peace from God is simply to bring those requests to God, turning to prayer rather than other things that we can try to medicate or numb anxiety with or distract ourselves. Those don't bring peace, true peace, but supernatural peace from God comes as we turn to God in prayer. It's amazing. It's a promise that peace from God comes from bringing those requests to God. Well, what fears are you facing? What anxieties are you facing right now? We've got a multitude of reasons around us in this season that we're in to be anxious, to be afraid, to be worried. What do you need to turn over to God? What do you need to bring before Him and experience this promise that He wants to do in your life, bringing you supernatural peace from Him as you bring those requests before Him in prayer? I encourage you to do that, as I do that as well. Well, let's look at the last point here, the fourth way that God turns bad things into good things. God presents derailed plans as an opportunity for new gospel opportunities. God presents derailed plans as an opportunity for new gospel opportunities. I saw on the news this week a story about a young couple here in the Twin Cities. I think it was in St. Paul, and they had a dream wedding planned, as a lot of people do this time of year. And they had a wedding planned at a chapel in St. Paul. And you know, imagine just a month ago, they're looking forward to this. They've planned for months. They've lined up all of the logistics and the details and the guest list. There were, I think, over 250 guests that were going to come to this wedding that took place this past week. And 2 weeks ago, suddenly it became very clear that everything was going to change, and the plan for this dream wedding all of a sudden became a derailed plan, huge derailed plan. They ended up going forward with the wedding, but the story showed how there were only four people in attendance at their wedding in this massive empty chapel. The bride in her bridal gown, the groom dressed up, four people in attendance. The photographer to record the wedding, to give a record of it. The pastor who officiated the wedding, and then two witnesses so that the wedding could be legal. Four people in attendance. I mean, talk about derailed plans. Your dream wedding in a matter of a couple weeks went from all of these guests, this grand plan, to a derailed plan with four guests in attendance. Well, you know, like them, you too may have derailed plans. I mean, join the club, right? We have millions of people, maybe billions of people all around the globe, in our country, in our city, all around the globe with derailed plans, all kinds of derailed plans, things that have changed, things that are out of our control, that where we thought we would be a few weeks ago, we're not. Well, the Apostle Paul is also no stranger to derailed plans. As he sits in prison, now writing to a different church, the church in the ancient city of Colossae, the letter of the Colossians, he's writing from prison. He's been locked up for preaching the gospel. He's on lockdown. He's on quarantine. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Listen to what he says from this situation with derailed plans and sitting in lockdown. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." I mean, instead of spiraling downward into despair with these derailed plans that the Apostle Paul had, I mean, he wanted to travel all over the Mediterranean world and continue to preach the gospel in different towns and cities, to tell people the good news about Jesus. Now he's confined to prison with maybe a few people that he's around during the day, guards, other prisoners. He's able to write a letter, like the letter he wrote here to the Colossians, but a lot of derailed plans. He could have easily been in despair, but what does he do? Instead, he says, use this, I'm going to use this time to give instruction to you about the importance of prayer. And one of the things he asks this young church to pray for him is that in the midst of this lockdown that he's in, that he would have opportunities for the gospel, that he would have open doors, he says. Open doors that God would give to talk about Jesus Christ, to demonstrate with the way that he responds in suffering how the gospel can change a life, and then to have opportunities to share the good news about how others can have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what he does. He talks about these open doors. Well, let me ask you, and as I ask myself the same question, what gospel opportunities is God giving you in the midst of derailed plans? In the midst of your plans that have been changed and derailed, I mean, off the track. The train is off the track right now. What open doors, what gospel opportunities is God giving you? And how is he calling you to walk through that open door for the gospel, maybe even this week, to walk through it, to step through that open door as God is presenting it in your life? A new gospel opportunity, even in the midst of derailed plans. That's how God works, in ways that we don't expect at times, in ways that we weren't planning for, but now all of a sudden there's an open door that he wants to use for the gospel. What is that in your life? I encourage you to ask God to give you eyes, spiritual eyes, to see what those open doors are this week. Well, let me pray for us as we wrap up. I hope this was encouraging as for you as it was for me to look at these different scriptures, the turnaround God that we have. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are a turnaround God, that you love to take bad things and turn them into good things, that you're at work doing that in our lives. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Mold us, shape us, conform us into the image of Jesus. In the midst of this this time of trial that we're in the midst of what we're facing right now in our world, Lord, do that in our lives. And we pray that as you do that, you would be glorified, that your name would be lifted high. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.